You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello there, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, March the 7th. This is a post-Oscars. We didn't see it.
We saw some.
Did we? I don't know. Not really.
I guess not.
No. So we didn't really see the show at all this year. I have tracked down a recording of it, so I think we intend to watch it at some point, but that's probably not a good sign when it's not a priority anymore.
Well, we read the list of winners, and there really were no surprises as far as I could tell.
No.
So,
Artist cleaned up. Like you say, no surprises. So
yeah.
So if you like the Oscars, you saw them. If you don't, you didn't. I managed to see Sacha Baron Cohen on the red carpet dump fake ashes on Ryan Seacrest, and Ryan Seacrest was very cool. He handled it very well, but he obviously wasn't expecting it, was not in on it, and didn't particularly think it was cool
or funny.
No,
Sacha Baron Cohen is weird.
He is a strange duck.
Very weird.
Strange duck. I don't know. I don't even know what you say about him.
I kind of wonder how much of his
insanity
stuff he does, is just for the publicity and mystique of it all.
Absolutely. Well, he dressed up as his character from his movie that's coming up, The Dictator.
Yeah.
And he had actually kind of indicated to the Academy that he wanted to do that, and they said, thank you, no, we'd really rather you didn't. In fact, we're asking that you not do it. And I think there was some talk at some point that he had actually been banned by the Academy from attending the awards at all. And then quite quickly, the Academy responded and said, no, 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 he hasn't been banned. We've just asked him not to do this. And no, he's a member in good standing of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and has been invited to attend the event. So then he went ahead and did that. So I haven't heard if there have been any repercussions or anything, but security sure descended on him and moved him along quite smartly out of that area. But
yeah.
Maybe talk about that one on-air guy from the local radio station, his experience.
Oh, well, I
didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, I guess. Apparently, a local radio personality is a big fan of the Oscars and so got himself in the draw, or it's a lottery, I guess, which amounts to the same thing as a draw, apparently, I would say. Just a fancier word. But I guess the stands that are set up for
along the red
civilians,
carpet.
If you will,
civilians.
Along the red carpet,
as opposed
yes.
to the military entertainment media.
Yes. Are drawn by lottery. And somehow he figured out how to get his name in the lottery and got chosen. And so he was there watching the red carpet happened as it happened and so on. But I didn't really ever hear his take on things or how he enjoyed it or
didn't. Well, I heard a little bit of, he talked about it a little bit, and I didn't realize, for some reason, I thought this was a media type of thing.
No, it was
but
just
it's
a random.
Anybody.
Yeah. And he is a fan and wanted to go. And
he actually said on the radio station during his show, he said, this has nothing to do with my role here at Sonic. I just entered this draw, and he said, I won this time, so I'll be entering again, he said, but he said, so can you, so.
Ah, well, there you go.
I don't know if I'd want to sit through the red carpet. Maybe.
It'd probably be very
but the regular
educational.
Yeah, the regular unwashed public is apparently not allowed within a miles of the event. It's.
Did he say if he dressed up or if you're supposed to?
He didn't. This is Rick Lee, though. I don't know if he dresses up much.
No. Well, probably not. But I wonder if that's part of the...
From the way his voice sounds, I don't...
No, I just wonder if that's a requirement of sitting there. If they say to you, if you win this, you have to dress so-and-so.
I've never really looked closely at the people in the audience.
Well, they don't really show them that much.
Not very much, no.
Because that's not the focus, obviously.
No. It's just filler, I guess, so you don't end up with big empty sections of bleachers behind. I went to, thanks to my brother Tim, he took me to a concert with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra this past Friday night, and it was called Late Night with Bill Eddings. And Bill Eddings is the current conductor of the ESO. And what he did was, it was basically a one-hour performance, and it was the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra and a special solo performer. But anyway, what they did was, apparently Thursday night, they had done some film music from kind of the 30s, 40s, up to about the 60s. And then this night that we went to, Friday, was 60s and up. So what was really cool about it, and what caught Tim's eye and had him invite me, was two of the selections they were doing was three pieces from the overall score of the original Planet of the Apes, and then three selections from the score of Aliens. So James Horner and Jerry Goldsmith. So that was really cool. And then also some selections from Catch Me If You Can, John Williams soundtrack. So very neat. It was incredibly powerful, especially for the Planet of the Apes section. A lot of the weird percussion and some of the weird musical effects that are in that composition. It was neat to see how it was done. And then the conductor actually went through the percussion section and pointed out some of the instruments and had them play them on their own just so that the audience could hear. It was pretty cool.
Sounds like it was fun.
So that was fun. What else have we done recently? Another thing that was kind of neat is a couple weekends ago, we didn't chat about this on the last show, but the University of Alberta, the one of the science faculties, and it was a geneticist who's a professor at the University of Alberta, and he was a guest speaker, and it was held at a repertory theater, like an art house theater in Edmonton, and they showed Jurassic Park. So it was very cool in this really in this old traditional style theater, you know, before multiplexes took over and ruined everything.
Yes. The seats were amazing.
Yeah, seats were very big and plush, and
it was like being in an easy chair.
And so it was the four of us, and Connor and Emily went, and they've never been to a theater like this. So they were just marveling at the fact that there was a balcony and the seats were so big and comfortable, and Connor said, "Why are there curtains there, Dad? How will they show the movie?" And then when they did the speaking presentation before and after the film, they brought out a podium to the side of the stage. So this big, huge curtain stage and a podium off to one side. And
they had a couple of paleontology grad students.
Yeah.
And they just talked about the genetic...
talked about the science in the film and is it realistic and where are we at versus where that said we were at. And it's funny because you could hear a lot of the science guys in the audience... tittering here and there as they showed different bits of the science and technology stuff in the film. But, I mean, that's from the 90s, so it's a little while ago. But
well, and it's a movie, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, everybody wants to know, could this actually happen? Could it work?
And they basically said, no.
Yeah. It really isn't possible. But the idea is fun, and
it was very
made for a fun movie.
Yes.
And it was fun to see it on the big screen, and I think the kids enjoyed that, too.
They did, very much.
It was a really... And it was free.
Yes.
And we got free popcorn.
Free popcorn.
Good popcorn.
And there was a little bit of a paleontology display in the lobby as well, so people could come out and look at bones and talk to the paleontology people, and...
Fun, educational,
cool.
And
yes.
Free. What more can you ask for?
Edutainment. Yeah, it was a good time. And kind of bridging into the dinosaur thing, I haven't talked too much on the show about some of the apps that I've run across, but I really, my oldest brother and I bump apps back and forth, so different apps that we've found on our iPads that we like, that we share with each other. And I guess it was around my birthday, there's an app called Inside the World of Dinosaurs, and it's narrated by British actor personality Stephen Fry. And if you haven't seen it, I can't remember how much it is, but it is absolutely amazing. Not only Fry's narration, but the animation in it and just the incredible volume and depth of content about dinosaurs. And
it's like a dictionary on dinosaurs for your iPad.
For your iPad, yeah, it's cool. If you've if you've seen the there's one on the elements, there's one on the planets. Those are some iPad apps that have been out for quite a while. So this is along those lines. And you know, I can't remember how much it is. I think it might be $10 or $15, but well worth it.
And this kids are fascinated by it, yeah, especially Emily.
They just love it.
She could just sit and look at it for hours.
And I haven't actually had too much time to sit down and play with it yet, but just looking even at the menu screens now as I'm chatting about it, it's pretty awesome. And there's full three-dimensional renderings of all of these dinosaurs in here from the Triassic, Jurassic, Cretaceous period. Timeline, different articles, a lot of full-motion video. Really cool app. So highly recommend Inside the World of Dinosaurs. Check it out on for your iPad. And, I mean, I don't know if it's an iPhone app as well, but it wouldn't be worth it in that case. Way too small. What else have we gotten into? Some nostalgic stuff for both of us, along with the Wonderful World of Disney, which I certainly grew up watching on TV on Sunday nights when I was a kid. But also the Undersea World of Jacques Cousteau was that documentary series from the 60s into the 70s. Eventually, it became narrated by Rod Serling, who was, of course, the creator and the host of Twilight Zone. So super cool to have his narration. But we watched the first episode. A&E has just kind of brought a bunch of them out. That's a dog with a cone around its head. Bella has a cone around her head to keep her from scratching, an area we won't mention. But, yeah, she scratches the cone, and that's quite entertaining, as you can hear
in
the background.
Sorry.
Yeah. So aside from the soundtrack, the score, which is very strange because it's relatively normal above the water, but anytime the crew of the Calypso goes under the ocean, it is bizarre. Like, we were watching an episode last night, and it was almost impossible to concentrate on the narration because the music is just out there.
It's pretty, it's a little dramatic, maybe, is the word. But one thing that's been kind of fun, too, is We have always told the kids about certain sections of Modern Family and how much we laugh and love it. And so we decided we'd start showing them it from the beginning. And Connor's a little bit young. He doesn't get a lot of it still. And so he gets bored and frustrated and isn't necessarily that interested. But Emily's been enjoying it a lot. And so it's kind of been fun to revisit it and share it with them. And so that's something else we've been kind of doing the last little while.
Yeah. Tying two of our themes tonight, family movies and also the Oscars, we had an opportunity to watch Hugo, or I watched it with the kids. And we also recently have been highly consuming Transformers Prime, the new CG animated series.
Specifically you and Connor.
That's right.
Has Emily seen much?
Yeah, she has, actually. Mm-hmm. So let's just take a minute now, and we'll jump over to Connor and Emily talking about, first of all, Hugo, and then Transformers Prime. And then we'll come back and chat more about that ourselves. So I'm here with Connor and Emily this week, and we are going to be talking about two things. First of all, Hugo. We watched Hugo. Connor, what did you think of it?
It was not my favorite movie. It was a little strange to me.
Okay, why did you find it strange? What was strange about it?
It was strange because it just didn't tell you what you wanted to know right away, and you didn't really know what the story was about until a lot farther into the movie.
Okay. You want the whole thing spoiled for you right up front.
No, it's just I would just like to know more.
More about what's going on, more about who the characters are.
Yeah.
You like some background information before you settle down for the full film.
Yeah. And also, some of the characters were kind of jerks.
Yes. Like, who were jerks?
Like, that old man that's like a retired man who used to do movies.
Yes, but he turned out to be very, very nice.
He's very nice in the end.
And his story was kind of cool, right? His story was kind of the whole story of Hugo.
Yeah. And also, the cool thing is he's built this thing. What are those things called again?
It's kind of like a robot, but they call it an automaton.
Yeah, and every automaton can do something different. Some play music, some dance and stuff. But this special one that Hugo wants to fix is actually writes.
Cool. Or draws.
Yeah. As you find out later in the movie, we don't want to spoil the whole thing.
That's right. Did you enjoy it?
It was okay. Out of 10, I would probably maybe give it maybe a 4 or 5.
4 or 5 out of 10. Ouch. You do know that this movie was nominated for a whole bunch of Academy Awards, Oscars, right? Do you want to revise your decision?
Awards schmords.
Ooh, awards schm awards. Who was your favorite character?
I really liked Hugo, and his father is really kind when you see him in Hugo's flashback.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you find it scary at all? Do you think kids your age would enjoy it?
It might be a little boring for some of the younger viewers, but I found it kind of scary. It's not, like, scary for my age, and I'm 9. At one part, it was kind of freaky when he was having his dream, and he kind of becomes the automaton.
Yeah. He has a dream, and it's a little bit scary. But but other than that, so you wouldn't rush right out? You wouldn't sit down, say, right now and watch it again?
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy it enough?
If you maybe forced me and put me in a chair, slapped to something that would make it explode, then I might consider watching it.
Wow, so under pain of death, Connor would watch Hugo again. Ouch. Well,
it's okay.
It's all right. Emily, what did you, and Emily is 12, what did you, tell me about Hugo, did you enjoy it?
I did. It was really cool. My friend read the book, and it seemed really interesting. I like the pictures in the book. I didn't really read the book, but it was a really good movie, actually. I really liked it.
You didn't think it was... Connor found it a little weird, but Connor's a little bit more grounded. Well, no, he's got a pretty crazy imagination, too, but I think you're the one who has a really... vivid imagination that kind of goes all over the place.
I heard that.
So, what did you think of it overall? You enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it.
Would you watch it again?
Yeah, I probably would.
Did you like the look of it?
Yeah, it was really cool. It, like, I saw Tintin, and Tintin looked really real.
Yeah.
And this, at first, like, what Connor said, like, is
at the very beginning, he thought it was animated. Just because of the way it looked, as the movie's opening and the camera goes through the train station and through all the people in the train station, he thought it looked animated.
Yeah, but the beginning, it sort of reminded me of Tintin a little bit.
Hmm, interesting. So you liked it? Connor said he would give it a 5 out of 10. What would you say?
I would say like in 7, 8, or 9.
Okay, sounds good. So, and you would watch it again?
Yes, I would watch it again.
Were you able to follow the story? Because I think Connor at times got bored or got lost because there was so much conversation and...
I don't really need that much information because I can get right away. Okay, he's the villain. He's a good guy. They're fighting.
Yeah.
They're in this clock place. He has to work for this guy, you know. I sort of figure it out as it goes.
You follow the story as it goes along, whereas Connor likes to have a little bit more upfront. So that's good. So you would recommend it. And have any of your friends seen it?
My friend Miriam saw it.
Yeah.
And she really, really enjoyed it.
Cool.
She said it was really cool and I should see it.
Cool. Well, let's hop over to talk about something else. And I wrote a review of this for DVD Verdict. And that is Transformers Prime Season 1. Now, there's a brand new computer-animated TV series called Transformers Prime that it's brand new, and it's created in such a way that either brand new people who don't know much about Transformers or people who grew up with the original cartoon in the 80s and the toys, either kind of group would like it. So... I don't think you've seen as much of it as Connor maybe has, but what did you think?
I thought it was really cool, really, really cool. I thought it looked like the movie, sort of, to me. It was really neat. I liked how they transformed. I thought all the new characters were just perfect.
Yeah.
They didn't mess up when they said, ooh, let's pop him in.
You like the human characters?
Yeah, I like them a lot. Cool. I think they're cool. I like that they have their own robot, sort of, that looks after
own friends. Yeah. So do they, do you think that having those kids as characters now makes it easier for you to get into the story and enjoy the story? Does that help, do you think, or?
It doesn't really make a difference to me. Like, I still understand. It's still Optimus Prime. It's still Bumblebee. Just they have new people with them.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And some of the new Autobots and the new Decepticons.
Yeah, and what I really liked, what I really thought was really interesting, is that they get to pick what they transform into, which wasn't in the movie.
When they first came to the planet? Actually, yeah. It is in the movie, and I'd have to show that to you.
I never knew that.
Yes, in the very first Transformers movie, there's one scene in particular where Optimus Prime is in his kind of first, the form that he arrives on Earth in, and then a big semi-truck drives by, and then he adopts
that. Oh, I remember that.
Right.
Okay.
So, Connor, Transformers Prime, what did you think about it?
Emily
wanted to say something else. Yes.
Out of 10 stars, I give this series, like, a 9.
A 9 out of 10?
I think it's really good.
And nice.
Kids of all ages would enjoy it, I think, because it's good for all people. I don't think anybody would find it boring, except for maybe really baby people.
And kids that are, say, like 43 years old would even enjoy it.
Yep.
Like me.
Dad's 43.
Yes. And Connor?
I loved it.
Do you?
I loved everything in the series. I loved how all the kids kind of came in and kind of helped form the story.
Yeah.
But the thing that I didn't really like about it was, where's Bumblebee? He's barely fighting at all. And if he ever fights, it's like a tiny battle.
Well, I think they explain a little bit in the series that Bumblebee is like a... Bumblebee's young. And he's also a relatively inexperienced Autobot. So he's like they call him a scout. He's not a warrior yet, but he's learning and he's getting better and getting more experience. So he's kind of a new kid on the block.
And also I learned from it that before you meet Bumblebee, it tells you in the story that Bumblebee, in a battle, had damaged his voice box,
yeah,
so
he
that's
actually,
why he can't talk.
That's right, and you learn that in the Transformers movies, and then they just carried that on into the Transformers Prime series. So, there's Connor and Emily's thoughts on both Hugo, the movie, and Transformers Prime, the series. So you have something else, yes.
The Transformers Prime series was really well animated. I still remembered all the characters. And if I was to give it a 1 from a 10, I would give it a... Drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please. Pats his belly for a drum roll. Okay, yes.
A 10.
10 out of 10. Your dad is in agreement with you. I would give Transformers Prime 10 out of 10.
I changed it to a 10.
Oh, Emily is changing it to a 10. She's been pressured by the other two judges. And West Germany changes their vote to a 10. So thanks, guys, for joining me. And catch you next time when we talk about something else.
Okay. Adios.
Bye-bye.
So as you can see, two very different types of content, and they the reactions varied widely. Connor wasn't a big fan of Hugo. As you heard, gave it 5 out of 10, which is harsh.
Yeah.
But Emily really enjoyed it. Connor, you heard it in the comments from them. He needs more up front. He needs more information, and he needs to know things. And Emily's just kind of along for the ride, and she's willing to take things as they're doled out.
Mm-hmm.
So, two very different styles.
And And I think it's just their personalities. Like, I don't think Connor will ever change in that way. But the more he knows for himself, the less he'll need to be fed.
Yes.
And so he may eventually get to the point where she is, where he can watch something without asking a million questions.
Yes, he's the king of questions. He's also an oversharer, if we haven't said that before. Connor had a his first sleepover just this past weekend. And the first thing he says when his friend gets into the car is, you know, Magnus, that's his friend's name, Magnus, by the way. I know, it's very cool. You know, Magnus, my dad says you haven't said two words to him. And I thought, I looked at Michelle and I went, and there's the oversharer. That's awesome.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So. Well, and you know, we all know, okay, I know this. And I've read it in many children books about raising children, babies, etc. You're not supposed to put Q-tips in your ears, right? Okay, I know this.
What are we talking about?
I'm another oversharing.
Oh, okay.
But Connor has a lot of trouble with wax in his ears. Whether you use Q-tips or you don't, it doesn't matter. And I, and after swimming especially, and being worried about the water, oh. So I know that, you know, you're not technically supposed to use Q-tips. And, but
certainly not jam them in.
Yeah. Right, but I kind of told him to do that anyway, because when he's swimming, he gets water in his ears and he can't get it out, and then he gets ear infections, and I was just tired of it. It's been going on and on and on. So, I take him to the doctor. The first thing he says to the doctor is, my mom told me that I should stick the Q-tip all the way in my ear. I'm sitting there thinking.
And, yeah.
Oversharing.
Oversharing again.
And it's like he does it on purpose, but anyway. Move on.
We need to talk to him more about his buffer. He needs to have a... Connor should be... He needs, like, a radio producer following him around with a sensor button.
That's for sure.
Because that's why there's that little delay on radio, so that if somebody says something really vulgar or stupid, it can be either cut off or edited, and... Oh, yeah. He needs that. Anyway, so we watched Hugo, and it's a 2011 3D fantasy adventure drama based on Brian Selznick's novel called The Invention of Hugo Cabret. It's about a boy who lives alone in a Paris railway station and the enigmatic owner of a toy shop that's also located in the station. Directed by Martin Scorsese, written by John Logan, a co-production of Graham King's GK Films and Johnny Depp's Infinitum Nile, which is his production company. Fantastic cast. We did not see it in the theater. We saw it on home video. So, it's one of those movies where I don't think you were that interested, but I wanted to see it. Absolutely gorgeous and got a really unique style to it. As you heard the kids mention, Emily almost thought it was, Connor even too, thought it was animated at the beginning. Just because of the way it looks as the camera pans through the railway station. So very, very cool. Hugo was nominated for 11 Academy Awards, making it the most nominated film of 2011, including Best Picture and Best Director for Martin Scorsese. And the film won 5 out of 11. That's crazy. Best sound mixing, sound editing, art direction, visual effects, and cinematography. And I couldn't agree more on all of those things. Also won 2 BAFTAs and was nominated for 3 Golden Globes, earning Scorsese his 3rd Golden Globe Award for Best Director.
Wow. Yes. And that is what I remember about the movie is just that he won at the Golden Globes. And his wife said to him, why don't you make a movie for once that our kids can see?
Yes, yeah. Because, of course, Martin Scorsese makes very dark movies for the most part.
I'm thinking she meant grandkids by now.
Oh, maybe. So it's the story of a young boy named Hugo Cabret, and he ends up meeting a man, this man who owns a toy shop, and eventually, I don't know if I'm giving anything away, if you haven't seen it, the man turns out to be director Georges Méliès. And this part is true. This is a real director. So a lot of the content of the story of the film is historically accurate. Obviously, the Hugo character is embellishment and a lot of the other interactions. But couching the story of Georges Méliès in the middle of the film, that's all true. So very, very cool way to present it. Almost universal critical acclaim for the film. But what I found was really interesting and disappointing, too. The budget for the film was estimated at between $150 and $170 million. And to date, worldwide box office on it is only $138.9. So it hasn't even made its budget yet, which is, I mean, from a financing and box office perspective, is a failure. Right. And yet the critical acclaim is universal. Rotten Tomatoes said 177 of 188 reviews were positive and an overall score of 95%. Metacritic had 100 reviews and the average score was 83, indicating universal acclaim. Roger Ebert gave the film 4 out of 4 stars, saying that Hugo is unlike, as you touched on a minute ago, any other film Martin Scorsese has ever made, and yet possibly the closest to his heart. A big budget, family epic in 3D, and in some ways a mirror of his own life. We feel a great artist has been given command of the tools and resources he needs to make a movie about movies.
Hmm.
And that's another thing that I really enjoyed about Hugo, is it is essentially a movie about a love for movies at its heart. And that's it was very enjoyable.
Hmm. You know what I kind of wonder?
What do you kind of wonder?
There were a few movies out around the same time that
yes.
were kind of about young boys in, you know, in interesting situations or life-changing situations. And I kind of wonder if it's kind of got lost.
Well, you know, you're partly right. The problem was when it came out, it was overshadowed by Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 in the theaters at the same time, The Muppets in the theater at the same time, Arthur Christmas, and Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a core audience, like right in that group of four films, you're looking at a core audience of about three unique demographics being pulled in another direction.
Yeah. And then there was like Incredibly Loud and Incredibly Closer, whatever that movie was.
Oh.
Also about a young boy. And so like for myself, not even just the movies that were in the theater at the same time, but just ones that were kind of talked about as in the same quarter of the year, if you will, or whatever. I could see it have just getting lost just because of that reason as well. So kind of both, maybe.
It's also appeared on many, many critics' top 10 lists for the best films of 2011. So if you have not seen Hugo, it's definitely a family film. It's appropriate to see with your family. It's got a lot of heart. It's got, you'll learn some stuff you didn't know about the history of film, potentially. You'll see another side of Martin Scorsese. He's a brilliant director, and you'll see another side of that brilliance. It's a beautiful film to look at. The score is fantastic. Hugo, check it out.
I'm just thinking age-wise. Was Connor just too young, do you think?
No, or the kids touched on that a bit when they were talking. And I think he felt there was a lot of talking. There was a lot of character development and a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a boy.
But he's a thinker. So he's going to get to the point where, like, I don't know. He liked all the fanciful stuff, but he's not quite ready for people sitting down chatting.
Yeah. So it's definitely not an under 10 movie, I would say.
Yeah. Younger kids will they'll be just glued to the screen for huge chunks of it and then probably bored to tears and shuffling around in their chairs for other parts. So use your judgment. Now that you can see it at home, there's pause for potty breaks and drink breaks and whatever. We did watch it in two chunks. So anyway, so that's Hugo. Moving on to Transformers Prime. It's an animated series, computer animated, based on the Transformers toy franchise by Hasbro. I reviewed it for DVD Verdict, so check out my review. I gave it glowing accolades, and from what I've seen since I wrote my review, from other reviewers online, very similar reactions. Just a fantastic series. It hits two things very well. It hits people who are intimately familiar with the Transformers. You know these characters. These are the characters you know. There's no surprises here. You will fall right back into this world and this story with them. There are new characters added. There are new dimensions and dynamics in it. But it's all familiar enough to longtime fans that you'll get it and you'll enjoy it. And then at the same time, to brand new people who have never seen the Transformers or maybe know very little, it's a fantastic series to just get into. I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of exposition, but you don't really need a lot. Within the first couple of episodes, there are a couple of times when Optimus Prime relates to the new human characters, kind of some of the history, and that's enough. You know, it gets in and you pick it up as you go along beyond that, and it works just fine. Beautiful to look at. As I was writing my review, I did lots of research, obviously, and essentially the hub, the TV network that debuted and also Transformers Prime came out on, they were given, the producers were given the task about 10 months before the hub premiered that when the hub launches, we want this show. It's got to be the best, most highly advanced, best-looking CG animated TV show ever, and you have 10 months to do it.
That's crazy.
So that's brutal. It could have tanked, but instead it's fantastic. There's already teasers out for season 2, and looks like it's got a big head of steam on it, and it's just going to keep going. Fantastic voice cast, including Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, and just blanked out, Frank Welker as Megatron. So Hugo Weaving actually played Megatron in the films, the Michael Bay films, but Frank Welker's back, as he should be, as the voice of Megatron for this series. So the key voices from the original anchor this, and then there's lots of great contemporary voice actors in it as well that are just fantastic. So I can't say enough good things about it, and the kids really enjoy it and are happy to watch it anytime. And it's rewatchable. There's enough to it. It doesn't feel like this was a toy. You know, this is kind of a glorified marketing thing, vehicle for a toy. There's character development here. There's good writing. They have a full-time team of 5 writers on this. And, you know, I just can't help but think if you had the CG tools that were used in the feature films and a writing crew that knew what they were doing, how much better would the film franchise have been? But, you know, that being said, they're making a 4th one, and they print money every time they make one, so what do I know? So that is Transformers Prime. It's fantastic. Season 2 just started in February of this year, so you can certainly catch up with Season 1 on Blu-ray. It's fantastic. If you have Blu-ray capability, I highly recommend it. And Season 2 is now underway. So there you go.
I think that's about it.
That's about it. Hey. So that has been View from the Couch for Wednesday, March the 7th. Took me a second. I always have to time warp ahead a couple of days.
Yes.
So thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate your support and your ongoing listenership. And, you know, feel free to check out DVDverdict.com for reviews and all the latest on new releases and things like that. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time with a brand new episode for you. And we'll look forward to chatting with you then. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.